Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Hello and welcome back to Living Fullness. Thank you so much for joining us once again this week for yet another episode.
Thank you. Welcome back. And hi, Stina.
How are you going?
I'm going all right. Yourself?
I'm doing well. How's your week been?
Yeah. It's been going very well. The seminarians are all on placement, so it's very quiet here.
Oh.
Like a graveyard, only not. Oh,
that's a bit eerie.
It is a little bit eerie, actually. You walk through the halls and there's just quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah.
It is
yeah,
very quiet.
Yeah. The spirit of silence that's meant to sort of generally exist in the seminary kind of only exists when they... That's not true. I'm sorry. Very good. All right. And your week?
Yeah, my week has been good. The nature of the job that I do with a cancer charity for children unfortunately means that from time to time we have children who pass away. Mm. So I've had a child in my books pass away in recent days, which, has been really tough on the family.
Yeah, of course.
That has been emotional and challenging and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So there'll be a bit of bereavement work to come.
Oh, absolutely.
Next week. Yeah. But, the child didn't suffer for very long. So
sure.
That's a very positive thing. And we hope and pray that the Lord's welcomed him home.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm. Mm. So today, a long-awaited episode. We have been telling you for a little while that we will get to...
We will do it.
...the episode on use.
Yes.
This is that episode.
Behold.
At last.
Yep.
So we've talked a little bit about use here and there in previous episodes, and what we wanted to do in this one is really just pull apart what we're actually talking about here, what it looks like, so that for those of you who haven't come across this before are aware of it, and why we talk about use being the opposite, really, of love.
Yeah.
So to start with, we thought we might start with what love actually is.
Yeah.
We have a range of answers.
Yes.
If we were to ask, if we went down the street and ask people, what is love? You will hear all sorts of answers.
All sorts of interesting answers too.
Yes. Have you done this in a school before? Have you asked?
Yes. Yes, I have. I get love is an emotion. Mm. Love is a feeling. Mm-hmm. I've also got love is a funny feeling in the pit of your stomach. Yeah. I normally remind them at that point that's when they had like food poisoning the night before or something. That's not actually.
Oh.
But not to denigrate the emotions though.
No.
Like the emotions are actually important.
Yeah.
In the context of love. So.
Definitely. But it's something more than that too, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
And I've heard sweet answers like that, from children as well, and read different accounts from children as well. I think one of them was something like, oh, it's when, someone puts on someone else's perfume. It's like, what? Okay, and they smell pretty together. Okay.
Well, that's just marvelous.
That's cute. Only a child could get away with something like that.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
So even then, that's something a little bit more than feelings, but it's still not quite there, is it?
Not quite there. No.
And so what we want to talk about when it comes to love is this sense of willing the good of the other. So it's more than just emotions and feelings and what we might think of a person. Mm. It is actually about not only wanting the best for the other, but doing whatever is necessary to be able to fulfill what is the best for the other.
Yeah.
And not just what we think might be the best, but actually is actually good for the other because that is just the way goodness is. There is one ultimate good path and acting in accordance with that, lining up with that.
Yeah, yeah, true. True that. And for that reason, love has various expressions. Love has, has, you know, precisely because it's a wanting of the good of the other, but that doesn't look the same in every circumstance. There are varying expressions of that. There are different kinds of love that we have. So, which is difficult for us to sort of comprehend in our English language, because we've only got really one word for love, which is love. So the Greeks, however, the Greeks had four.
Right.
And they were storge, philios, eros, and agape. And storge is like familial love, you know, like the love between mother and child, that sort of thing. Philia or philios is a love between friends, like a friendship love, you know, a general fondness, you know. Eros is a love of beauty and the desire for communion. And interestingly, the Old Testament uses eros in some books quite a lot to describe God's love for man, that he desires communion with man. Agape then is this divine love. It is it's God's love for us, right? It's this complete sort of self-giving love, which we see, of course, in the coming to life in the crucifixion and through Scripture. And it is really a grace of the Holy Spirit that we have, this gift of charity, right? This ability to actually love like God loves. The thing about agape is that it takes all the other loves and it purifies them. So the other loves, those three loves, are sort of natural loves.
Right.
They are loves that we can just sort of develop, I suppose. You know, naturally a mother has a love for a child. Naturally, love develops between friends. There is always a tendency towards that which is beautiful. You know, however, agape is something beyond what man can naturally attain. You know, and so the love of God, this self-giving love, is a gift from God that we can't produce on our own.
And so when it comes to loving another, when we've just talked about, you know, different forms of love that we have, and love being more than just emotions and feelings, then those definitions, those words help us to be able to distinguish between what kind of love is actually present here in this relationship that I'm in, and therefore what is the ultimate good that can come from this relationship, which then determines the way that we respond to that person in any given circumstance and situation.
Absolutely. That's what love is.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. We just explained love in what, like 10 minutes? So, you know, there's more to be said on this topic than what we just said then, right? Let's just be clear on that.
For the purposes of this conversation.
That's right. What we want to be able to say is that love is willing the good of the other for the sake of the other. That includes the gamut of emotional response, but it's not defined by the gamut of emotional response. Stina, what is use?
Use is the entire opposite. I've had conversations and talks that I've done before where, you know, I'll say to people, to young people, we are told time and time again that the opposite of love is hate. But that's as far as it goes. But the challenge that we put forward is actually, no, it goes further than hate, because you can hate someone in that you can want something bad to happen to someone. But when you use someone, you don't just want that bad thing to happen to them, you actually allow for it to happen. So you've participated in some way, or not participated, but watched and allowed it to transpire in front of you. So that is actually much worse than to just hate someone. Not to say that hating someone is a good thing. It's not. It's still on that end.
We're not pro-hate. It's okay.
No. It still sits very far away from love, but it's not the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Complete opposite of love. So using someone actually means treating someone as a means to an end instead of an end in themselves. So what we mean by that is things like in a relationship where we've had a previous podcast about this where we've talked about friendships where there might be romantic feelings that have started to grow as a result. When we allow for those romantic feelings to not be rooted in reality and we take it to a world of fantasy and imagination and we think about, oh, you know, things like, oh, what would it be like to be in relationship with that person and dreaming about being in relationship with them, marrying them, you know, that kind of thing. When we allow for that to happen, we're actually using who that person is to fulfill a desire of ours internally, an emotional desire. So Sarah Swafford would call this a lack of emotional virtue. That is a way that we are literally using someone emotionally. And then physically, we can also have things like, again, in romantic relationships, unchaste romantic relationships. That can be physical ways of using someone that we say that we love. Then why are we using them in a way that actually says, I don't actually love you, I just want to use you for the pleasure that I'm receiving?
Yes.
You know, again.
That's right.
This is not what love actually is. And then we can have it in friendships too, right? We can have friendships where, you know, that one person who only ever calls you because they want that thing from you. And you know, the moment you see their name on the phone, you know exactly what they're going to ask for because it's the same thing. It's the only reason they call you. That is a form of use as well. If there is nothing else going on in your relationship, then you providing this thing for them, you know that you're probably being used here.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it'd be hard pressed to find someone who hasn't felt.
I think you're probably right. Most people would have that sort of
an experience of some kind.
Something like that, for sure. For sure. Yeah. One of the things that I think, or a couple of things that I think we do have to sort of pull out then, is all use bad? So, you know, don't employers use their employees? Don't generals use their soldiers? You know, like this too is a kind of use. Now, John Paul II, when he was Carol of Ortia, he wrote a book called Love and Responsibility. I suggest you all go to eBay and buy it.
Just a slight fan over here.
That's right. It's an excellent text. It's a little bit, I suppose, dense in spots, absolutely, but very, very good. And he talks about the fact that, yes, not all use is bad. When employer and employee are working together, employer and employee are meant to have a common goal. There is an exchange happening where there is goods being produced for money given, absolutely. But there is also this common goal in mind that they're both striving towards. It's similar in a military situation. You know, the general and the soldier are both striving towards a common goal. So this stops it from being a case where the general is using his soldier as a means to an end, or the employer is using his employee as a means to an end. It doesn't mean they couldn't. They could. They could use them as a means to an end, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are, just by virtue of there being an employee, employer, or general soldier kind of relationship, right? So not all use is bad. It is this use which, as you said earlier, Stina, treating a person as a means to an end instead of an end in themselves. That is to say that in and of themselves, they are someone worthy of love, not to be treated as an object of use. It's interesting that when we use someone else, we do so because we have concluded that we ourselves are someone to be used. One of the lessons that I teach my first year seminarians is that for us to see the image of God in someone else, for us to see someone made in the image and likeness of God, where do I first have to see it? I have to see it in my own heart. I have to see that I am made in the image and likeness of God before I can see it in somebody else. And so too, if I see that somebody is there to be used, It's because I see that here. I see that I am someone to be used. Mm. If I can't recognize that truth here, I can't recognize it anywhere else, you know. So if I see myself as expendable, as usable, that's how I'll view others as well. So there's a very sort of personal truth that sits behind use, which is what is my worth, you know, and that's got to be sort of grappled with, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great place to start when it comes to asking ourselves, where does use live in our personal lives? Is to start with asking that question that you just asked, you know, what is our worth?
Yeah.
Is really to start to sit with that and work out what does that actually mean for you at this moment, and what would you like for it to actually mean for you?
Yeah.
Forward.
Yeah.
As well. But then also to consider, you know, am I in a relationship of use where either I'm using somebody else or I'm allowing somebody else to use me? For that example that I gave before about, you know, that person who's name and number comes up on your phone and you know exactly what they're after. Yes, it's not a great thing that they call out and reach out to us like that in those moments with whatever request it might be that they're wanting to make of you, whatever demand it might be that they're wanting to make of you. But there is also an added element of responsibility that we have in how we respond to that. So if we see that this becomes an ongoing pattern, you know, if we truly love them, we do have a responsibility to be able to respond to what's happening here in a healthy manner that helps that other person out, because maybe they don't realize they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe nobody else has ever told them that. So it might actually mean having to answer and say, you know, yep, whatever your standard response is normally to it, and then to say, hey, I've also noticed that this seems to be the only time.
Yeah.
You know, just so you're aware, this seems to be the only time that you call on me.
Only time
he
calls when you need X, Y, Z. Something. Yeah.
Still happy to do it for you, but moving forward, let's think about this.
Yeah.
So we do also have a responsibility in that as well. When it comes to watching someone else that we care about being used, you know, like when a friend is in a relationship where they walk away having been used in some way or another, and you know that that's exactly what's going on here. That's very hard. It's a very difficult conversation to enter into. It's almost a little bit easier when you're the person who's been used
person. Sure.
When it's someone you care about and you're a little bit more removed, it becomes a little bit trickier.
Yeah.
But I think the way to move forward is in the same kind of template that we've talked about in an earlier podcast episode on toxic relationships, because essentially that's what this is. This is not a toxic relationship, but it's toxic behavior.
Sure.
So that behavior needs to be addressed in a similar kind of way of saying, hey, this is what I've experienced just watching what you're going through. You know, these are the types of responses. This is what I've heard from you. This is what, you know, how I see you react and respond. And this is what I think about it. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
And then to say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do about it. And always remembering that you can never take away the free will of that person. So however they choose to respond to the conversation you have with them, they have every right to respond and move forward, providing it's not law-breaking or unethical or immoral.
Sure.
They have every right to make their own decision about how to move forward. You don't have a right to step in there and make the decisions for them.
Yeah.
So our response to that should still be something like, I'm here for you though. Whatever you decide moving forward, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm in it. I'm sticking this out with you. Know that I disagree with you. I don't want you to go through what you're going through right now. It's not good for you. I don't want this to continue, but I'm going to be here for as long as you need until this thing changes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a tough conversation, but you truly love someone, it's a conversation that needs to happen.
There's a responsibility there to have that conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Part of being a good friend.
For sure. So a few sort of, I've called them correctives, but there's I'm sure that there are better words than correctives. It sounds so clinical.
Antidote sounds just as bad.
Yeah.
Some words of inspiration. Some people of inspiration.
Some people, right, okay, all right, yes. Yes.
Better?
Better, better, much better. There are some sources that we have who have offered sort of a way out of use and a way towards love. So firstly, just starting with scripture, looking at examples like Jonathan and David. You know, Jonathan and David were dear friends. Jonathan was Saul's son, King Saul's son. And when David was anointed the king by the prophet Samuel, Saul wanted to do damage to young David. He wanted to kill David. And Jonathan, who was David's friend, protected him from his father's wrath, you know, and really looked after him. And there was, he even put his own life on the line to look after David, where we actually see Jonathan willing David's good, even to the giving of his own life in a very dire situation. Yeah. We also see this with Naomi and Ruth. You know, so Naomi's husband passes away, and Ruth is pretty much, you know, pretty well left on her own. And Ruth says, "Look, go and remarry. You know, go and it's okay to leave me alone. You know, it's okay to leave me to die." And Naomi says, "No, I'm sticking by you. You know, it's you and me." You know, and so which is kind of sweet, because that, you know, Naomi and Ruth have this mother-in-law daughter-in-law situation that's actually kind of working out pretty well. Yeah. So take that, every comedy about in this. You got Paul and Timothy. You know, Paul's dying wish was to see Timothy again.
Aww.
You know, his one wish before he passed away: "I long to see you." You know, it just speaks of this genuine love that Paul has for Timothy. So we actually see what friendship looks like, the scriptures, and not on one occasion do we see this means to an end business happening. Mm-hmm. Always we see the good of the other present.
Mm.
We also have Dr. Scott Hahn.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Scott Hahn.
Quotable quotes.
Quotable quotes.
When he talks about looking to Christ, and of course we can see in many places in scripture where Christ talks about calling us friends and our need to be in friendship with Jesus. Like that's a thing, right? Friendship with Jesus. He calls on us for that. So in regards to that, sort of Scott Hahn starts by saying, "We can look to Jesus. He said, 'I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know what his master is up to. I call you friends.'" And he says, "Ancient Greeks philosophers considered it impossible to have friendship with gods. They're just too unlike us. Well, when God comes down to our level, he does so to raise us up to his level. If friendship is in fact the message that we share, then it also ought to be the way that we share it, because friendship is what makes the gospel more than rhetoric. It's what makes it reality."
How good's that?
So good.
How good's that?
So
Dr. Hahn.
Good.
He's
on point.
He's got it. And this is why we talk about, you know, it's often said, you know, we fall in love. We don't fall into agape. God raises. English all of a sudden is just left. So God raises us up to agape.
Because he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be where we're at.
Yes,
he meets us where we're at
and brings us further.
And then brings us up,
because that's what he does. Yep. John Paul II. In this same text that I spoke about earlier, Love and Responsibility, as an antidote to use, talks about the personalistic norm, which sounds very fancy, but it's really not. All it's saying is that there is a law in place that can be negatively and positively expressed, and that law says that, in negative sense, that law would say the human being is a good who must not be used. But in a positive sense, the human being is a good who deserves to be loved. This is where he sees love and use as being diametrically opposed to each other. Yeah. That there is a law of the gospel that says that man is someone to be loved. He must never be treated as a means to get something. He must always be someone who gives and receives. It must always be someone who is loved and is loving.
Mm. Yeah. What's that quote of quotes? You know, someone, oh gosh, I'll have to find the quote to put it in, but that's exactly it. You essentially turns someone into something.
Right, right.
Which is exactly what we're not.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly.
We are so not a thing, anything but a thing.
Anything but a thing, exactly right. Well said. We're anything but a thing. We are someone.
Mm, mm.
Yeah.
And like you said, as John Paul says, we are someone to be loved.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's sort of, again, nutshell. So there's plenty more here, and we'll put some links in the description box below in the YouTube video, and we'll try and put it in the podcast link as well, so that you can have a look at different things like the love and responsibility that Padre spoke about today. And when I can think of that quote, I will put it in there as well. It's just escaped me. I'll pop that in there as well. But before we end today's episode, truth, beauty, and goodness for the week.
Mm. So last week, I was on retreat.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the canon law, like law of the church, says that every priest has to make a treat for a period determined by the sort of local conference of bishops. And our local conference of bishops is determined 5 days. Right. So we make a 5-day silent retreat, and I had to make mine on my own this year.
Okay, that's so not a norm.
That's not no. Okay. That's no, normally we make it together as a group of priests, and there's a wise, experienced priest who's leading the retreat and gives us talks and stuff like that. So this year, COVID kind of got in the way of that, and so I had to go on my own. I had a priest record some talks for me, which was really awesome.
Mm.
Thank you, Father Peter Fitzsimons, if you're watching. And he was fantastic. So that was – it was. But most beautifully, I was able to – our Bishop Mark Edwards gave permission for me to reserve the Blessed Sacrament in the home that I was staying in for the period of my retreat. And I turned the living room into a chapel.
Mm.
And it was just kind of like everything that I did was done in the chapel. And it was I mean, obviously I cooked in the kitchen, but you know, it was the living room was this, you know, it was where I spent most of my day, and that was, it was just beautiful. Mm. It was so glorious. Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
For yourself.
Mine for this week actually came from a gospel reading from Luke 5, and it's the paralytic man. I was reflecting on that particular passage, and I just sort of wondered what the relationship was between the paralytic man and these people who carried him in. You know, what did a paralytic back in those days have to offer? You know, what could he possibly have given these people for them to feel convinced that they needed to go out of their way to help this man and take this man to someone who was quite a new phenomenon that was happening in their world, that just started hearing whispers about powers of healing.
Mm.
You know, what could have possibly convinced these people to do that? And then reflecting on, I don't know what that relationship was. Maybe the paralytic man was a stranger. Maybe they knew each other. Maybe they were acquaintances. Maybe they were friends. I don't know. I don't know what the relationship was. But then considering that not only did they approach where Jesus was and find a crowd, you know, that there's an opportunity. I mean, perhaps these people would have had to travel to be able to get to where Jesus was, so that would have been an obstacle. Then to get to where Jesus is and there's a crowd, there's another obstacle. Can't get through the crowd. Mm. Okay, well, what do we do? And then to come up with the ingenious idea of, well, we will lower him through the roof, won't we?
Let's go, boys.
Genius. We will just go through the one place where the people aren't and take them just straight to Jesus. It was clever, it was ingenious, but it was completely out of their way and very generous. And then Jesus' response, you know, in seeing their faith chooses to heal this man.
Yeah.
And it struck me that is what friendship should be like.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know, we should be taking the people that we care about, I mean everyone, but especially the people that we care about, we should be taking them as close as we possibly can. Find the most creative means. Go to the ends to take them as close as possible to Christ, purely for their own sake. But, you know, that was just such a powerful example of what true friendship should look like.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that was mine.
That was
mine
awesome.
For the week.
Yeah. Mm. What a beautiful reflection.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm full disclosure. I'm going to steal that for a homily.
<That's> right. I need to start getting paid for these things. okay, that's fine. You can have it. If it's for a homily. You can have it, I suppose.
All right.
but that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Speaking of getting paid, though, if there are people out there who would like to sponsor the podcast, please get in touch. We need financial support to be able to keep this thing going.
We do.
And keep it going the way it is and make it better if we can. Where we can. So if you would like to sponsor us and being in partnership with that, please get in touch with us using the Virtue Ministry website, virtueministry.org.au. Or if you know us personally, come and speak to us. We'd love to chat some more. And make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already and hit the bell button. That will give you an alarm every time there's a new episode that comes out. Also, come back each week and listen to the podcast if you're listening to that via whatever streaming device you're using. You can also listen to it through our website as well.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And as always, send us your thoughts, comments, and wish. And until next time.
God bless.
Love and peace.